This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday,
when Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
Paul Anthony with you on the Vic Police GLOW show through to 1 o'clock before Con comes in. In the studio today we do have Acting Sergeant Electra Wellens.
Hello. I'm saying that because it's like an echo in here.
There is, because Gabby's not with us today.
No, she's not. She's out at Q. So, yeah. Hi, Gabby, if you're listening.
Hi, Gabby, if you're listening. Well, she's listening. She should be in.
Yes, other commitments. We've got to spread ourselves thin some days.
You know, I've known you for how long now? Maybe a year?
Yeah, about
or
that,
or less, or perhaps. And I keep forgetting you're a copper.
It helps now and again when I wear my uniform in, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
And also helps when I've got to say Acting Sergeant Electra Wellens. Oh, that's right. She's a cop.
That's right.
Yes. But that's what this show's all about, isn't it? It's about
about
finding out about the police, but also building the relationship between the LGBTIQ community and the Victoria Police. Because in the past, dating back 10 years, it was pretty crap, wasn't it?
Look, we've had problems in the past. No one's going to say ifs, buts or anywhere, and we're always about improving. So, yes, the answer is to that.
Good. And we have a myriad of guests, different guests come in each time. We like to, you know, we're trying to spice things up a bit. And so if you've ever got somebody that you'd like us to talk to, by all means, let us know. And you can do that during the week on gllojoy.org.au. But today, not to confuse you, if you just want to send an email in, it's onair@joy.org.au. I like to grill the coppers when they're in because you might as well get them while you can. As I said, it is a relationship, but not only with the Victoria Police and the LGBTI community, but with Crime Stoppers Victoria. So we look at reading a couple of crimes out each week.
We do.
And also with the Anti-Violence Project. Because if you're not comfortable reporting to the police and you're not comfortable reporting to Crime Stoppers Victoria, the Anti-Violence Project's been around for about 15, 16 years, where you can actually report to them and then they pass on the information. The good thing about the Anti-Violence Project as well is they map where all the things that are happening around town, don't they?
Yeah, and speaking of which, we do have a special guest on today's program.
We do.
Yes, because it's National Homeless Persons Week.
Yes, and she's from the Council to Homeless Persons National Week. How does that work? But let's ask her. Please welcome to Joy 94.9, Sarah Khan. Welcome. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me today.
Now, can you explain to me, or it could be just the way that the lecture is written, you're from the Council to Homeless Council People National's Homeless Persons Week.
I'm from the Council to Homeless Persons here in Victoria, which is the state peak.
Ah.
But we are here marking National Homelessness Week. National
okay.
Homeless Persons Week.
And you're here to tell us all about that. I've been reading some interesting stats on people who are homeless, so we'll talk about that as well. What else is on the show, Electra?
We've got our normal news little segment that we're going to do, and we've also got our Crime Stopper segments as well.
All right, shall we go into Vic Police News?
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
Yeah, look, I'll keep it nice and short. We've got a 3-month blitz happening, which is Operation Eastern. And Operation Eastern will see tough police focus on speed and dangerous driving, mobile phones and fatigue and overtaking, and also drug and related alcohol on our roads. It's pretty important over the next 3 months, so we're taking a very hard line on road safety. In particular, we'll be definitely targeting people that are travelling over 5 or even 10 kilometres over the speed limit. So those lower limits that you might think we'll be targeting, and the commander out that way has actually even said we don't want to hear excuses. It will be a very hard line that they're taking, because the risk of being involved in an injury crash doubles each 5 kilometres you increase above 60 kilometres. It actually doubles the chances of your type of injury that you're going to have. The same for a mobile phone. Don't want to hear the excuses. In fact, you're probably only endangering your own life and other road users. So the main focus that we actually want people to do is actually calling upon the community to actually take their bit. if you're worried about a driving behaviour of a family member or a colleague, speak up. And if you're a passenger in the vehicle and the driver has been driving for too long and is travelling too fast or not concentrating, say something. We actually say that as a key phrase, don't we, on Crime Stoppers?
That's right.
If you see something, say something. It's your life too. And so that's the important thing. If you're a passenger in a car, you need to say something. So our safe driving tip and more information about driving down Country Road Toll, please, they're available on the vicpolice.com.au.
Now, road toll is considerably higher this year than it was at the same time last year.
So that's why there's going to be a particular hard line taken.
Mm.
Now, our other news story, which is quite interesting, and it flows on from our TPOs, etc., is Victoria Police are actually going to have a career night where on Monday the 8th of August at 6:30 you can go out to the Victoria Police Academy at Viewmount Road, Glen Waverley, and it's actually a community insight into a career within Victoria Police and what it would be like. There'll be information sessions that cover the role of police and community, minimum entrance requirements, recruiting process, Victoria Police Academy, operational policing conditions and entitlements, and of course job opportunities. And those job opportunities actually go right across the board about prosecutor, being a detective, crime scene officer, multicultural, crime squad, sexual offences, accident investigation, traffic management unit and force response unit. These applications are encouraged from innovative and dedicated people who display strong and ethical behaviour and represent the entire community. The session will also cover people who are interested as a career as a PSO, including the role of PSO training and operation powers. So get along on Monday the 8th.
Might as well just put my name down there.
We will?
Yeah.
Excellent. Will we see you on Monday
the
8th?
No, no. Become a dedicated people who display strong and ethical behaviour. That's me, isn't it?
Put a photo.
Put a photo of me.
A photo of you. That's what it'll be.
Yes.
So we encourage all of you and our listeners that might know family or friends also that are interested in joining us to go along to the Police Academy next Monday at 6:30.
Because they are looking at still doing that 1,700 people across 4 years, aren't they?
They are.
Which started last year sometime. I can remember we had the Chief of Police in at that time.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right. More information, get yourself across to
vicpolice.com.au.
.com.au. That's the one.
Joy 94.9.
Paul Anthony with you on the Vic Police Glow Show with Acting Sergeant Electra Wellens and our special guest today, Sarah Khan, from the Council to Homeless Persons, National Homeless Persons Week. And we'll be getting more from Sarah shortly. In the meantime, now, as part of our relationship with Crime Stoppers Victoria, got a couple of crimes to read out.
We've got a homicide in St Kilda on the 16th of May 2000. Case reference for this is CA 5730. And if you see something, please say something. Caught me off
guard. If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Paul Anthony with you on the Vic Police Glow Show with Electra Wellens. No Gabby today. A big hello, though, going out to Scott. He's Sergeant Scott Davis. He's out at the academy, and apparently the whole academy is listening. Everyone, stop just to listen to us.
Lunch break.
Oh, is that what it is?
Must be.
Oh, I thought it was special. They said, hey, stop, Paul Anthony's
exactly.
on the radio.
Stop.
Electra Wellens is there. Let's talk. Yes, okay. Hi to all them. Another message in from Melina. Do you want to read that one?
Yeah, I think it's a really good one. Melina has actually contacted us and sent in a message just before the show, actually, so thank you for that. Christine Nixon's book and her Mardi Gras experience is compulsory reading, she's letting us know. What a gutsy woman for being the first high-profile policewoman marching in the gay parade. Negative press towards her is unjustified and sadly has been very narrow-minded and nasty agenda by vested interests. Thanks for paving the way, Christine, for others to follow. And that's from Melina in South Yarra. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Melina. If you'd like to hear the podcast of the Vic Police Glow Show talking to Christine Nixon ages ago, just after she moved on, you can get across to joy.org.au, click on podcasts on the right-hand side, there'll be the Vic Police Glow Show, click on that, and then keep following the links, and then eventually you can scroll down and you'll be able to find that there, along with all the other interviews that we have. And now we're starting to podcast the show as a whole show rather than just the interview.
And very interesting to go back and actually look at those because we've had some really great interviews, just as today will be.
There are, yes. Well, our guest today is no stranger to helping people who are homeless. She's currently the manager of the Policy and Communications Unit at the Council to Homeless People. Prior to that, though, in an effort to end homelessness really across the world, I guess, she was working in DC for 5 years as the Director of Field Mobilization at the National Alliance to End Homelessness. She's also working in collaboration with the Alliance, local, state and the national partners to build the capacity of local communities and advance federal policies and programs related to preventing and ending homelessness in the US. Who would have thought it was so complicated? Please welcome to Joy 94.9 again, Sarah Khan. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
Now, I only read about the first four lines of that. I've got a page of stuff that you've done, particularly overseas. We're looking at Homelessness Service Coalition in Greater Kansas City, Missouri, Atlanta, Georgia. Is there anywhere you haven't been?
Well, it's exciting to be able to continue the career overseas. My partner recently moved to Melbourne, so I was lucky enough to get a job at the Council of Homeless Persons to continue some of that policy work here in Australia.
Now, I walk past a lot of homeless people, and I will admit I don't give them money, but I cringe every time I see them. Sometimes I like to sort of stop and talk to them, but then I'm worried how they might react if I do talk to them. But can you explain to me the Policy and Communications Unit at the Council to Homeless Persons, what does it exactly do?
Well, the Council of Homeless Persons is the peak body organization in Victoria, which really means that we're representing homelessness services, but ultimately we're really representing people who've experienced homelessness. So our mission is to end homelessness here in Victoria, and we'll do that through sort of leading the state in policy and advocacy work around policies related to preventing and ending homelessness, as well as sector development and consumer participation. So we're really, really committed to working with people who have experienced homelessness to help us develop practice and develop policy.
What's your definition of homelessness? Because, I mean, like I know some people, the rent might have been up, so at the moment they're couch surfing. Are they homeless? Or are we talking about the person who's sitting on the street with a cup wanting some money who hasn't washed their hair for a year?
Well, it's interesting. In Australia, there's a general consensus really among the sector and researchers that homelessness is more than just houselessness. So in the last decade or so, it's been widely accepted that we use the cultural definition of homelessness. And the basic sort of underpinning of the cultural definition is that there's a shared community standard of what minimum accommodation people can really achieve in our society. And that minimum accommodation is typically defined as a small flat, a self-contained flat with secure tenure. So the cultural definition distinguishes between primary, secondary, and tertiary homelessness. And primary homelessness would be the people that you describe, people that you see living on the street, so rough sleepers, as we would call them. Or secondary homelessness, which is describing people who are couch surfing, so people who move frequently are living in homelessness accommodation, homelessness services.
So those temporary sort of accommodation needs, or they're transient perhaps for jobs and those sort of things? Or?
Yeah, so people who, for whatever reason, don't have a home of their own and are having to reside at either friends and relatives' house or in homelessness accommodation.
So no usual address, basically.
Yeah, no usual address. And then the tertiary category would be people living in rooming houses. And the reason those people are included in the definition is they really don't have the minimum standard, so they don't have a self-contained unit and often have less secure tenure than people who are renting.
So. Excellent. So it's probably a little bit more than what we typically understand it to be. Mm. That it actually has various levels.
Well, it just opens up all sorts of things that we can ask you, which we will in the next half an hour. But you can also ask Sarah if you like, 0427-JOY-949 or on air at joy.org.au. You can give Andy a call on 1300-569-949, particularly anything you would like to ask about homelessness. Perhaps you are homeless, but there's all sorts of questions, isn't there? What do you do if you come across someone homeless? What do you do if you're going to become homeless? How do you talk to someone who's homeless? Should you give money to someone who's homeless? And there's a lot
to actually, and we might even get Sarah back on another day because there is quite a lot to cover.
Okay. In the meantime, a couple of announcements and more crimes right here on Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9, Paul Anthony with you on the Vic Police Glow Show with Electra Wellens and our special guest, Sarah Khan. We have more of Sarah Khan coming up shortly. In the meantime, part of our relationship with Crime Stoppers Victoria, we have a second lot of crimes.
And the case reference for this is CA5568. Is a serious assault in Fitzroy on the 13th of March this year.
In case of emergency, always call 000.
And if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
If you'd like to say hello to us today, you can 0427JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au. Just like Tess has done, we were reading out some crimes before at 12:15 about the Collingwood supporter that had been shot. Tess says that offender will be answerable to the Pink Magpies, perhaps. I don't know. Well, maybe the Pink Magpies know what's going on. Then they will get the reward for $1 million.
Very protective of their crew.
Of their crew, yes, that's right. Now, someone who's very protective of what she's doing, and she's also trying to end homelessness, well, not only in Melbourne, but all across the world, is our special guest today, who's Sarah Khan, the manager of Policy and Communications Unit at the Council to Homeless Persons. We've discussed what homelessness is, but who are the people who are actually experiencing homelessness?
Well, here in Victoria, there are about a little over 20,000 people on any given night who are experiencing homelessness. However, that data is somewhat dated at this point. That's from the 2006 census. So we won't have the new numbers until 2011. Nationally, there are about 100,000 people who experience homelessness on any given night. There is a myth that homelessness is about people sleeping on the street, but that really makes up a very small percentage of the population. About half of the people experiencing homelessness in Victoria are young people under the age of 24. A lot of those young people are have left state care. Some research shows that about 35% of the people leaving state care, young people leaving state care, experience homelessness within the first year.
I've got a stat here that 26% are aged between 12 to 18 years.
Yeah.
That's quite young, 12, 13, 14, 15, even 18 is quite young, but that's very young to be homeless.
Yeah, and the reports that we get is the most common reason for that is family breakdown, which can be from family violence. But another, a lot of research also shows that young people from the GLBTI communities are overrepresented in that population. Again, we need more research in this area. However, a growing amount of research in the U.S. has suggests that about 1 in 5 young people who are homeless are from the GLBTI community. Yeah. So very overrepresented.
It is.
Why do people become homeless, you think?
Well, it's a number of reasons. Family breakdown in Australia is one of the most common causes. So, again, that can be a young person who's forced to leave home because of abuse or neglect, but it can also be a family who's fleeing violence. In Victoria, about 30% of the people who sought assistance from the homelessness sector were families that were fleeing violence. So that makes up a big population.
Yeah, and part of your role, too, at Pivotally as being the go-to point is actually the advocacy side of thing and agencies that are there to support people. And that's where Victoria Police work in conjunction, because often enough we're the conduits between coming to a crisis situation and having to make those referrals to suitable areas that are suitable. But we can't always place a youth in an adult environment, so we work with Department of Human Services and other services.
Yeah, that's a really important point. One, you know, I'm in the policy and communications arm, but CHP also has a homelessness advocacy service, which really sort of grew out of the Department of Human Services Consumer Charter of Rights for people experiencing homelessness. So if people have a problem with a service, they can call us and really get informed about their rights and also be supported through a complaints process as well. Within that homelessness advocacy service, we also have a peer education support program, which is really, really important to our work because that's really a consumer advisory board of people who have experienced homelessness but are trained and supported to help us in our policy development as well as service.
Wow, fantastic. I guess that's a pivotal point. People that have actually been on the coalface experienced it themselves, being able to feed in to see what exactly people need.
Yeah.
So it's excellent.
Exactly.
Let's have a look at the LGBTIQ community. My stats here say that there's between 5,000 to 6,250 homeless lesbian and gay youth at any one time. So that's youth. We're not talking about older people. The figure suggests that approximately 30% of the population of homeless young people may identify as non-heterosexual. So then there's all the ones that are too scared to come out even. Is this a surprising figure?
Well, it is, but I think we're seeing that young people coming from this community, it can be a trigger of homelessness, but then also once these young people are homeless, they're experiencing a number of other issues because of their homelessness, negative reactions from services or other young people at the services. So, yeah, I think that it's a shocking number.
Yeah, it is, and it really hits home about that pivotal point of having services really to tailor for the GLBTI community and the real need for that, for not, and the differences between metropolitan and rural as well, of how pivotal that point is of being able to have services there that can cater for special requirements for accommodation placements and other requirements, because often enough, as you mentioned, Sarah, that there can be a combination of issues, not just one issue of what has brought a person into being homeless. And as we stated before about the couch surfing, and often enough how a child or a young person can actually end up on the couch at a friend's place while they're actually taking refuge from some family violence or other issues at home as well.
I often wonder, when I see someone homeless on the street, I often wonder, you know, that person and someone who's older, like what happened in their life beforehand or to the point. I mean, I'd think I'd have enough friends, I guess, to couch surf for a while or family. But these people who are out on the street who don't have anything, who don't have any clean clothes, who haven't showered, obviously don't have anybody. And I always wonder how it actually gets to that point.
Yeah.
Whether it's they don't want help, whether they've been involved in drugs or alcohol, whether they've just misused all their services. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because there are a lot of different reasons why people become homeless, and there are different triggers of homelessness. A lot of people that you see on the street often have mental health issues or other physical and mental conditions that are somewhat chronic. But I think one thing that all people who become homeless need is access to a home that's affordable, that's connected to some supports to either help them access that housing or to remain in that housing. That's very difficult to achieve as housing is really
Well, how would they get a house? I mean, I have hard enough time proving to the real estate agent that I'm legit. So how could someone who's homeless, you know, it's not like... Like you hear a lot of people say, well, why don't you get a job? Well, you know what? if a homeless person walked up to, you know, Macca's to get a job, they're not going to let them have a job because, A, they smell, they don't have nice clothes. And I'm not pinpointing Macca's. That was just because that came into my head. But yeah. But like anything, I mean, when you go for a job somewhere, I mean, you doll yourself up and look fake for a couple of hours, don't you, to get the job? Yeah. Well, these people can't do that.
And that's really, I think, what a lot of the homelessness services sector is trying to do. And some of those programs that we need to expand funding for are the programs that provide that advocacy support. So really helping people broker with landlords or fill out public housing applications and those types of housing services that people need just to get in the front door.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to that point too of not making that stereotyping about, you know, the small proportion that what we've just spoken about of being on the street huddled up, not being able to access health or a shower or those sort of issues are very different to the vast proportion that make up actually what homelessness is. And single people actually continue to comprise over 3/4 of all the homeless population. So which is interesting is that from a broken relationship as well, where people are actually placed into a homeless. So there's a variety of different people that can be placed into really transient accommodation as well.
Got any questions regarding homelessness? Well, we've got Sarah here for another 15 minutes, so please email in onair@joy.org.au. You can SMS 0427JOY949 or you can also call 1300 569 949.
Online all the time, joy.org.au.
Well, Anthony with you on the Vic Police Glow Show with Acting Sergeant Electra Wellens. It's time for our third lot of crimes, Electra.
And the case reference for this is CA5770. And this one is an indecent act in the presence of a child at Footscray West on the 14th of June, so only just a couple of months ago.
And remember,
if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Well, Anthony, with you on the Vic Police Glow Show, we'll continue our conversation with Sarah Khan. She's talking to us from the unit at the council to homeless persons. It's still a very interesting tongue twister, that one, to get out, isn't it? So you're creating policy and communications. You've been overseas, like we were saying earlier, into Kansas City, Atlanta, Georgia, and no doubt overseas the homeless rate is extreme compared to what we've got here. So what are some of these policies? What's your unit actually doing to combat the homelessness in Australia? And do you think it is beatable?
I do. And like I said, we are in the business of ending homelessness. But for that to happen, governments are going to have to work alongside the community sector and the private sector in partnership to ensure that we're preventing homelessness before it starts. And we are giving people access to safe homes that they can afford. We are very fortunate that both at the federal and state level, governments have begun investing in solution-focused responses. So at the federal level, we have a national strategy to actually have homelessness by 2020. And the Victorian government has recently committed to tackling homelessness through an action plan. So CHP will be working collaboratively with them on those.
In your honest or humble opinion, feel free if you can't answer, but do you think the government is doing enough on homelessness?
We currently are. We've had a lot happen in the last few years where through the National Partnership Agreement, through the Commonwealth and the state government, we've had some new homelessness services and about 4,500 new affordable homes come online in Victoria due to some new monies. But we have to keep pedaling hard if we're going to make some real progress. So we're really looking forward to working collaboratively with the state government to implement and develop a plan.
Electra, you made mention before that homelessness is not just the in-your-face one, the one that you sort of see in the street or begging for money or hasn't had a wash and clothes, right? Well, that's actually what I see. I mean, me, if I know someone who's, couch surfing, well, they're well better off than the person who's out on the street, so I'd prefer to go and help that person on the street. So what's your unit doing to actually, I guess, disclose, if that's the word you use, to actually, I guess, educate the community on what homelessness is and what they can do to help?
Well, it's interesting because we have a peer education support program as part of our homelessness advocacy service, and that group has been essential in helping us educate the community on issues around homelessness, the causes and the solutions. And I would encourage anyone who would like some training for their own organizations about homelessness to call Council to Homeless Persons so we can send out that team of people who have experienced homelessness who are trained in developing the sector and helping governments understand the issue better as well.
Excellent. In fact, I think we'll talk a little bit further about perhaps having someone come along to Community Encounters, which is training for the Victoria Police recruits as well. So we'll talk further about that. But certainly, Paul, I think what you mentioned is very true. And I guess, we only have to look over the past few years in natural disasters and how that's actually caused a lot of homelessness and displacement for a lot of people as well. And I think off air we were also discussing, Sarah, about the fact that someone can become homeless and then that can actually cause a mental illness, that they don't suffer a mental illness beforehand, but the fact that they're homeless can actually contribute to other issues that compound a situation.
Yeah, it's really important that when people become homeless that we end their homelessness as quickly as possible. I think that reduces the personal harm that we talked about, so health and well-being health conditions can really be exacerbated by the experience of homelessness, but ending homelessness is really reduces the economic harm that can happen as well. So people who are living on the street tend to cycle in and out of really, really expensive emergency services. So there are costs to the taxpayer, but there are also a lot of costs to the person. So ending homelessness, everyone wins when you end homelessness.
So that's why that prevention focus is so pivotal, because there is a direct link between going, if we get them into a service and get them linked, that's we can possibly avert other issues down the track.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really going to take linking up the police and homelessness and housing and health and mental health and the family violence sectors all working together to ensure that people don't fall through the cracks. But when the homelessness sector is working hard to get those people back into housing, that we can link them into those really important supports.
Some people have said to me in the past that some homeless people are homeless because they want to be. They don't want help. Any truth in that?
You know, homelessness is such a horrible, horrible experience. I don't think anyone has ever said when they've been asked when they're young if they wanted to be homeless when they grew up. So I think that homeless people who are experiencing homelessness are really wearing the brunt of exclusion. They've really fallen through all the cracks, and no, it's definitely not a choice. And it's something, as we've described today, that really happens to a number of different types of people.
I think there's a lot of pride in it too. If you can imagine someone that might have a mortgage and next minute they're struggling with payments, financial issues, they end up breaking up from a relationship, so that these issues, if they go unattended, can actually snowball to effect that they're now can't hold up a job correctly because they don't know where they're sleeping. They might be sleeping in their car. All those sort of issues that actually start to compound as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting because all of the research shows that you can't start really addressing any of those issues until you're back in a safe, secure home. So that's why it's important to get people off the streets as quickly as possible and get them in the home so that you can take those types of supports to the person. Just even talking to some of our peer educators earlier this week, they were describing sort of the experience of homelessness and how as soon as they became homeless, it's like it wiped away everything that they had done in their lives. So, you know, their education, being a good mom, participating in sports, volunteering, all of a sudden that was wiped away when they didn't have somewhere to go. So it really shows how essential having a permanent home is to everything in your life.
If I was on the street and I never had a home, probably one of the first things I would do, and I don't encourage anyone to do this at all, but I need to survive, I need to eat. So, you know, I'd be looking for loose change in cars, I'd be looking for anything that could get me by. Now, what do the Victoria Police do sort of in that sense? If someone's homeless, can't afford anything, need to eat, and they're obviously stealing to eat. I mean, years ago, steal a loaf of bread, they cut your arm off.
Ship you to Australia.
What do they do? Like, I mean, surely, like, the cops must know that this goes on. You know, a car might have got broken into, whatever. What do you guys do to combat that?
Absolutely. And that's a really pivotal point. And even through domestic violence and those sort of things as well, that we see the necessity for Victoria Police to form partnerships with services. And in fact, we have done that with numerous services. So different divisions or different areas will have the police will know exactly who they need to contact, whether it's the Salvos that can offer a service or Hanover Street or Carlton Drummond Street services, whatever they may be in different areas. The police usually have a referral or a service provider nearby, and if they don't have a service provider, Victoria Police obviously see the necessity to build that partnership and establish that partnership so we can start those referrals happening.
Nearly coming to the end of the show with Sarah Khan, so if you've got a message for her, please do it straight away, 0427-JOY-949 or on air at joy.org.au.
The most diverse sound for the most diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
And the most diverse people here in the studio. Paul Anthony with you, Electra Rollins, and also our special guest, Sarah Khan, who's the Manager of Policy and Communications Unit at the Council to Homeless Persons. So we've been talking about all things homelessness, I guess. And it is Homeless Awareness Week.
National. Yeah, national. Right across the country.
All right. Well, I guess the big question is, Sarah, what can we do to help people who are homeless? So, like, what's perhaps the first step, or what's the best step? Or,
well, I think it's important for us all to really participate in breaking down some of the myths around the issue. So providing training at your organization, having someone from our crew come out and provide a workshop about some of the causes and solutions to homelessness. I also think for any private and philanthropic sector folks listening today, investing in homelessness is important, and investing in solution-focused programs can really provide an enormous social and economic return on investment. So, yes, show us the money, I guess.
Absolutely. And you've got a 24-hour phone number that people can access as well. I believe it was actually a 1-800 number that you've got there as
well. Yeah, it's, and this would be for our homelessness advocacy service that I talked about earlier. So this is really important for people who have had problems with service and need support or want to know more about their rights. And that number is 1-800-825-955. So 1-800-825-955.
You got a website for us as well?
Yeah, it's chp.org.au.
And finally, our most important thing, because a lot of the statistics that we've spoken about today is based on 2006. So on the census night, which is just around the corner next week on the 9th, really important, Sarah, you can explain what people need to do.
Yeah, it's really important that if you are experiencing homelessness or know someone who is experiencing homelessness, that you fill out that census form correctly, because that is really our only comprehensive count of homelessness, and really dictates sort of the types of responses that we provide and funding that we provide.
The census person came to my door the other day, put the census underneath my mat. Now, how's a homeless person going to get a census form? They don't have a home.
Well, there should be at all of the local services, there are forms available. And if you're staying at a rooming house, then operators will be handed forms as well.
Okay, very quickly, we've got 10 seconds.
Yeah, next week we've got Joe Beard coming on for the Taxi Director and Greg Atkins for the Anti-Violence Project for Victoria coming in as well.
Okay, Sarah Khan, last words?
Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome. I'd like to have you back as well to see the progress.
All right, so if you'd like to say hello to us during the week, you can. It's glow@joy.org.au. That's glow@joy.org.au. Alexia, speak to you next week.
Cheerio, and see you then.
No worries, and I'll speak to you on Tuesday.
Wherever we live, work and play, safety affects all parts of our lives.
Community safety is everyone's responsibility, and there are things we can do to make our homes, workplaces, streets, neighbourhoods and communities safer.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
Your voice, your radio station. Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au. Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.